ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
67 years ago, many people thought that we were destined for super speed travel.
The possibility of leaving Adelaide, fulfilling a luncheon engagement in London, or attending the theatre, or the opera, say, and being home again within 24 hours is no longer a fanciful dream.
But most of us still can't even get to work on time. So where did things go so wrong? I'm Matt Bevan, and from If You're Listening, this is Black Swans, a special series about why we didn't end up in the future we were promised. It's available now on ABC Listen.
The extreme weather is continuing across the country, with deadly fires continuing to lash Victoria, while Queenslanders are bracing for possible flooding in the wake of ex-tropical cyclone Koji. Now, the Prime Minister has announced relief packages for fire-impacted communities. He's visited affected communities and urged people to stay vigilant and heed warnings from emergency services. In fact, he said to Victorians that he has their back. But the devastating events haven't distracted from questions about why the Albanese government took so long to announce a National Royal Commission into anti-Semitism in the wake of the Bondi terror attack. Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis.
And I'm Jacob Greber. Welcome back. Good to see you again, PK.
Very lovely to see you, Jacob. I literally flew home from Byron Bay and am now back on deck with Politics Now and the other projects that I do, and it's very exciting. I've seen, though, because I'm, okay, like, how does the sausage get made? Even when I go on holidays, as people know from our emergency pod that I did with Claire Armstrong on the announcement on the Royal Commission, I'm a bit of a loser. I watch press conferences still, even from the beach. And so I did see you, Jacob, with the Prime Minister at the press conference. And I thought, do I want to be there? Well, half of me does, but I do like the fact that I can throw myself into the ocean after this press conference, and I mean that on many levels. Yeah.
It's much more fun to watch a press conference from the beach.
It is, so it really still is. Best of both worlds. But your summer, Jacob, you took like a week off, I think. You haven't had heaps of time off, but you did really cover what was a momentous period in politics. Like, even though it's been the summer period, politics has never been so intense in many ways.
It's funny, isn't it? January used to always be this time of quiet in the news cycle, and it really hasn't been for several years now. I always feel like something big is happening in that December, late December, January period, and obviously this year it was even more so because of that terrible event in Bondi and all of the subsequent argument that's come out of it. It's been really a pretty rough time. I think as a country, there hasn't been that sort of sense of cohesion that might have been around on, I mean, thinking of Port Arthur in particular, there was a sort of political coming together. This has been much more fraught, and we can go into the whys and what ifs about it all. But it has been a pretty rough entry into 2026, I'd say, from a news point of view. You know, notwithstanding everything going overseas as well with, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of things going on.
And I think that's a really important point about the kind of global politics at the moment, which, of course, as we always say, has an enormous impact as well on things in Australia. What we're seeing in Iran is actually extraordinary at the moment, and it's been reported that Donald Trump is being he's been briefed on options for the US to potentially take. As you say, this comes after Venezuela. There is also the big issue going on in Minnesota in the United States in relation to the ICE raids and the kind of policing that's going on in the wake of all of that. So it's actually kind of extraordinary times. We started by mentioning the bushfire emergency across Victoria. Now, you know, we obviously, what was it, 5-6 years ago now, 6 years ago, went through that black summer, which was, I think, really seismic. That was just before COVID. this fire emergency we've seen in Victoria is a really big deal. Right now, as we record, we are really talking about a monumental impact in terms of people's lives. Victorian fire authorities are continuing to battle uncontrolled blazes across the state. 390,000 hectares have been burnt so far. One person has been killed. There are, you know, this is as we record, there will be no doubt more difficult information that comes out of there. The Prime Minister, though, I just think, you know, in terms of analysing the politics here, he has had, and we'll get into it, real difficulty dealing with the aftermath of Bondi, and that will continue. There's a Royal Commission, there's more to come, but, you know, the perennial issue of fire emergencies in this country over this period means that he's had to front up there. And remember, he was the opposition leader who, I think, I just want to give this a sense of context, Jacob, who really provided a contrast to Scott Morrison when he was a monumental failure, and I think no one would contest that. He was such a failure during that emergency 6 years ago. So I feel like you've seen Albanese really trying to lean into this, right? Like, I am not going to stuff this up. I know how to do this. You know, we've got your back, Victorians. Am I right? Like, is it, you know, are you seeing a sort of over expression of as much empathy and action as you can from him, because he knows how bad this can go if he doesn't front up?
Well, I mean, on the, you know, on Thursday of last week, he obviously announced the about face on the Royal Commission. The very next morning, he was in the disaster centre here in Canberra, the big central monitoring hub, making sure he was seen to be there, getting across the threat of the fires and what was going on in the with the cyclone up north. So yeah, you're right. It's I think in a more normal year he might have outsourced some of this work, to by which I mean to a senior minister, but this is a year in which he wants to be seen to be on top of an issue like this and be seen to be doing the right thing. The opposition leader is also out and about. In fact, even David Littleproud, and I think even their great challengers, Pauline Hanson and Barnaby Joyce, have also been out and about. So it's been a politicians are getting in front of cameras in these terrible weather events because they want to be seen to be active in it. I'm not sure it's anything super out of the ordinary.
No.
I mean, remember just before the election was called last year, we had that big cyclone that hit southeast Queensland and the Prime Minister sort of suspended everything for a week. And then he spent most of that week in that disaster centre. So yeah, look, that's what Prime Ministers have to do. And one of the reasons they have to do it is because of the criticism of Morrison in 2019 that you alluded to. So yeah.
Well, everyone has now, and this is the Prime Minister post-Morrison, so, you know, the future ones too, whoever might come next, they have the template for what not to do, right?
Yes.
Like, don't do it that way. And so there is an awareness of that. So that's still unfolding. And if you are in a fire-affected area, if you're in Yark, for instance, a place I know very well, you know, and you're going back to the aftermath of destruction in Victoria, you know how bad this is. And so my sympathies for people who have to deal with this fire emergency. It's just such a sad time for people when, you know, it should be the best time of the year, I think. But at the same time, the kind of aftermath of Bondi and the announcement on the Royal Commission, which we reported on in the emergency pod last week, which you can still listen to. Okay, I just want you to zoom out for a bigger take. You've watched as the Prime Minister thought about this, didn't announce it, then did when he backflipped. Where are they now? We're recording this on a Monday morning, setting up the new kind of political week for everyone. Where is it all at as they manage the deep social cohesion tensions in this country and a big demand from the Jewish community that they take this issue seriously? Have they settled the disquiet?
Look, I'm not sure that they'll ever be able to settle the disquiet in the Jewish community. I think this will be something that hangs over the Prime Minister really for a long, long time, if not forever, on his record. That said, I think this is a very complex space. I think if you ask people, should there be a full accounting of everything that led up to the Bondi terrorist attack and the deaths of 15 people and injury of others, should there be a full inquiry into all of that? I think most Australians would give you an answer of course. Like, that is a straight up yes. The nuance comes in what form that inquiry takes. And I think this is where the politics came into this whole debate. The Prime Minister, obviously reluctant to go down the road of a royal commission, made a bunch of arguments for why it wasn't a good idea. He referred to the Lindt cafe siege. He referred to other things. And then, of course, then you saw a groundswell that came from initially families of the people who were killed. It then spread to sports people. It spread to lawyers. Every day it seemed there was a new letter from a different group calling on the Prime Minister. And it was really last Monday, a week ago, when the letters started to come from his own side. There were Labor people saying, look, we do need to have a commission. People who are demanding a royal commission are coming from a good place. And I think that was the moment at which he started to soften his resistance, to shift. And then 3 or 4 days later, of course, we got the announcement that there will indeed be a royal commission. He's insisting he was thinking about this all along. I think that's sort of, you know, he sort of says that now. That's sort of trying to reframe the position he took earlier. Certainly Tony Burke was opposed to it, talked about how there was a risk to social cohesion from such an inquiry. Now all of those arguments are being sort of put on the back burner or ignored by the government. And they're going fully into this. It'll have to be quite a quick one. They've got a report by the 1 year mark of Bondi this year in December, mid-December. So that's quite a tight timeline for a royal commission. And, of course, royal commissions do have a habit of becoming a beast of their own direction. It's up to the commissioner, a former High Court judge, who will decide the degree to which they meet that timetable.
That's right.
And who they call. I mean, I think...
I was about to go to that.
The question for me,
who are they going to call?
PK,
is it going to be the Prime Minister?
So let me ask you, like, what do you think a royal commission looks like in this year? They tend to generate a lot of headlines all year long, I would imagine.
Okay. Who do they call? Well, you know, that's why I think my prediction is that you'll see an extension and a request for an extension, and then the government can't say no, credibly, or that's controversial too, right? So the issue with the Royal Commission and why the government, in my kind of assessment, was so reluctant to go there is that it is a beast and it does potentially drag on and it does potentially, almost inevitably, drag them through the ringer, right? So yeah, I think it will have to call the Prime Minister, and the reason for that is they will have witnesses, particularly from the Jewish community, saying we wanted more done. We knew that there was a crisis. We felt ignored. And they will put political blame, some people who provide evidence and testimony, on the government. And that will provide kind of the onus on the Prime Minister to come. And I can tell you internally, there are people very nervous about what that looks like, right? Now,
and just for listeners, yeah. It is the Prime Minister made it clear he was asked about whether he would appear, and he said, "Well, that's entirely up to the Commissioner." So that's the awesome power of Royal Commission.
There's no stopping it, right? He has to do it.
They can call who they want,
and so they can, and he is compelled then, and that's what happens. So then there's the turning up, right? I suspect people like Tony Burke will also be called, right? Like a range of people, and then others too. So what happens when the Prime Minister is in the dock, so to speak, right? Well, you know, he's cross-examined about his approach on all these things. Now, unless there's a smoking gun, then I haven't seen it myself, which at all kind of implicates him and his government in some sort of overt inaction, and I use the word overt on purpose because I'm aware that there are critics who think there has been inaction. I call it overt in terms of, you know, some evidence, for instance, that the federal police or the ASIO asked for this specific thing to deal with it and the government didn't. You know what I'm saying? Something very specific. But if it's more in the broader terms, the vibe, you know, I think if he handles it with empathy and properly, it can be okay. But there is a view that on this issue, Anthony Albanese has floundered. And that's a view not just in the sort of Jewish community. That's a view inside the government, right? That he has not been comfortable in this territory like he is in other territory. I mean, he seems much more comfortable talking about infrastructure or universal childcare, right, than this issue.
Yeah. I think you're right on that, though. I do get the sense, just watching him last week, he did an interview on 7:30 that's quite interesting, you know, a few short hours after the announcement was made. There is a little bit of a look of relief on his face, I have to say, having been the lightning rod for the last 3 weeks or the 3 weeks leading up to that decision. You know, he was the target of a lot of anger, particularly out of the Jewish community, particularly out of the groups who were calling for more rapid action, who wanted a royal commission. So he's, you know, he's been on the receiving end, and you know, obviously prime ministers, that's your job. Mm. So you buy the ticket, you take the ride that's on right. That one. I'm not expressing any particular empathy for him there, but I think when he then got to the point of making that decision, which was against everything he'd wanted to do, it was, you know, it's a tough thing to back down. Once he'd done it, I think there is actually a sense of relief. Now that the course has been set, he's taken the heat out of that. And you could see it actually from the opposition. They immediately pivoted to wanting to talk about the floods and the fires. They immediately withdrew some of their criticism about the choice of Royal Commissioner, former High Court Justice Virginia Bell. People like Josh Frydenberg had said she wouldn't be appropriate. Susan Lee wanted a three-person team to lead the Royal Commission. So they parked all of that criticism very, very quickly, and I think that's telling as well. Now that the Royal Commission exists, you can't keep beating the Prime Minister around the head about the fact that he hasn't called one. And I think people out there, maybe voters in voter land, you know, you can go too far with that criticism if you're the opposition. And I think that's a risk for them if they keep going on this, when people will say, well, hang on, he's now done it. So let's see what the Royal Commission comes up with. Let's see the degree to which there is deeply entrenched anti-Semitism. We'll get all the facts on the table. We can have a debate about it. I think that's an important shift that happened since Thursday. And you can see it on him. There's a bit of relief in his face watching him up close.
Oh, that's interesting analysis. Yeah, I mean, I think the will they, won't they, you know, the kind of view of some in the government that they should wait for a few more weeks, see how it's playing out, then make a decision. All of that obviously went away and they decided to settle it. I do think that's wise rather than bleeding over a longer period of time, which I think they were doing. You talked about yes. The opposition. I do want to get your thoughts on this because I've been watching it, as I say, from the beach, but still watching it pretty intensely as I do. The opposition, did they go too far on politicising all of this? Have they already gone too far? Yes, I know you say now they're pulling back, but even already, did they just over-rig it too much?
Look, I think that moment of banging the table that Susan Lee did, I've forgotten the date exactly, it's all blurred, but it was before the new year, where she said she was quite angry. She said she hadn't seen Penny Wong shed a tear, which, I mean, I think that's one of those clips that will reappear in the history books, in the sort of political valedictories that get
pretty
written
weird
about
thing to
Susan
say,
Lee.
Wasn't it?
You know, how can you know what's in someone else's head? I think that looked to me, quite frankly, like she'd gone too far there with her criticism of the government. Now, maybe she was channeling the anger that she was hearing in person down at Bondi. Maybe that's what happened. She did spend an awful lot of time down there. She made the point that she could go there, whereas the Prime Minister had a lot of trouble appearing there. She could go to the funerals, whereas he couldn't. Now, he's the Prime Minister, so that his view is that had he gone to all of those funerals, it would have become about him being there rather than the person who was being remembered. That's what he would say. So yes, look, I think it is a fair question. Did she go too far on all of that? And I think people will be able to judge for themselves. People were watching it. They saw the whole political aspect of this unfold. I think it's fair to say that one of the most interesting questions for me is going to be what the first polls of the year show, and they are pending. They usually start going into the field, as they say, in the pollster world around this time of January, and you start getting those first polls after Australia Day, just before Parliament comes in. And my guess, PK, and you've seen polls many, many times, I'm sure maybe the Prime Minister takes a bit of a hit in terms of his performance and competence and those sort of ratings around, is he effective, is he not? Or maybe people say, look, he changed his mind and that's a good thing. He listened and we'll give him points for that. The question in my mind is, how much does any of that decline for the Prime Minister go to Susan Lee and the opposition? That's sort of a big question in my mind.
Yeah, and let's not forget the other part of this. Where are they bleeding votes? And I'm referring to the coalition here. Appears to be still one nation. So that's interesting and significant, but that's a splintering on the right. That's not gaining votes in the centre. And that's, I think, quite a point that matters, and also watch that space with these first polls. Like, again, we haven't seen them, but I can't see how the Prime Minister doesn't take a bit of a sort of haircut, so to speak. Look, I think he will.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's inevitable. But, you know, we're at the start of 2026. There's enough time to reset. Yes, there are booby traps everywhere now with this Royal Commission, which is why they wanted to avoid it. Like, it's full of booby traps, right? Lots of things can go wrong.
Yeah.
They cannot control it. They want to be in control all the time. But events, my dear friends, right? They have to respond to events.
Yeah, and it keeps the government's performance, its decisions, the reactions over the years leading up to Bondi. It keeps that in the news. Like, there'll be evidence. There'll be, and I think the other interesting thing as well is how the Dennis Richardson inquiry fits in. Dennis Richardson's a former spy chief, former ambassador to Washington, very, very experienced bureaucrat. He's been appointed to look at whether the security agencies, the police, the AFP, ASIO, etc., whether they missed signs, whether they were coordinating in the right way, were there clues they could have picked up that might have prevented this. That's what he's looking at. And that's now happening under the umbrella of the Royal Commission. And that's why the New South Wales government suspended or cancelled its Royal Commission. There was going to be a state one. Initially, the Prime Minister said that the federal government would assist that Royal Commission. Now that he's established a federal one, that's kind of moot. And so that's been parked. So this all now comes under the umbrella of this one. And that has to report by April. So, you know, we're going to see a flood of stuff quite quickly from Dennis Richardson on this, which will be very, very interesting, because I think people do have a lot of questions about the sort of security element of all of this. The stories we've heard about the two people, how they got to this point. I think there's a lot of question in people's minds. But I think just more generally too, it means that we're in a space where people are going to have pretty willing arguments, and I'd suggest look no further than what's just happening right now with the Adelaide Writers Festival.
Oh, such a great point. And, you know, everyone Google that if you want to know more about it, but the cancellation of a Palestinian Australian writer and the big blow up.
I think that's emblematic of the sorts of things that are going on more generally as a result.
Look, we're back on deck now with politics now, which is exciting, like in an official capacity. Jacob, you know how much I love you being my Monday co-host. I have actually missed you.
I hope it's, you know, the re-entry into the cold, hard world of daily work has worked out for you.
I know. Can I say, it's funny, anyone who's returning, and I'm sure lots of people listening would be returning, it's a popular day to come back on this day. Some people have been back a week. You know, some didn't get a break at all. I'm aware of that, right? But, yeah, it's hard, the re-entry into like the daily workforce. Like I got up and I was like, whoa, this is a lot. I have to concentrate and make telephone calls and do more reading. And yeah, but anyway, yes, we are back.
You wouldn't have it any other
no,
way.
No, I wouldn't actually. I was actually weirdly looking forward to it because I'm a bit weird. Now, tomorrow we're going to have another episode of our special summer series, The Interview, where I sit down with a politician and I tease out what makes them tick. I've had a lot of lovely feedback. Can I say thank you for sending it in on our interviews with the Liberal MP Tim Wilson, Labor MP Josh Burns, Greens leader Larissa Waters. So thank you for all of that. It's going to be in your feed, so make sure that you listen, and there will be more of that in the future as well. You can send your questions to thepartyroom@abc.net.au. See you, Jacob.
Take care.